Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
94.9 The Rock, GTA's Rock Station. Your pallies, Craig and Lucky and Dean Blundell. All of a sudden, it feels warmer, doesn't it? The sunshine that is Dean Blundell, it feels that much warmer. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, boys. Real issue when I called in with you this morning, I said, how are you both doing? And both of you did the exact same thing like this. I'm going to do a repeat version of what you just did. I'm like, hi, guys, how's it going? You do this. What's wrong in that studio? How could you guys possibly be upset with full-time employment? You're going to be done work at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Lucky's probably going to be 10 toes up with his hand on his rod by 11. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys can start a day like this with these great jobs and this great lifetime we live in with.
Well, listen, we're just being honest. You can't always be positive and happy all the time. It is a tough time of year. We're both battling the flu. We feel horrible. Physically, we're torn apart. Yesterday in the studio, it hit a high of 8 as there was no heat in the building all day. So, you know, we're battling through some things. At my home, the lovely Maria said to me, the freezer seems to be making a funny noise. I said, no, it's not. Then I noticed this morning everything in the freezer is thawed out. I might as well just throw it all out in the backyard. So excuse me, Dean, if it's all not sunshine and roses like your life all the time.
I think it's so incredible. Here we are talking to Dean Blundell. At one point, this man was the epicenter of radio in Toronto. Yeah. And also, some would say, the reason you couldn't see the CN Tower for the dark cloud that hung around it.
Uh-huh.
Now he's out of the biz, and he's the bright ray of sunshine in our lives.
Boys?
Yeah.
I believe country singer said it best when they said, every rose has its thorn.
Wasn't that a Poison song? Keep singing it, though, Dean.
Like every night has its thorn.
It is a country song.
Am I singing Warrant? Is it Cherry Pie?
No, that's your Poison.
That's Poison.
Every cowboy
has a sad,
you're a cowboy. You're
sad
a cowboy.
Song.
Sings a sad, sad song. But
every rose.
Lucky and Craig are pussies.
There's our new ID.
All right.
We're going to cut that into an ID.
Perfect.
Right there. Thank you. Done.
Well, you know, it stands to reason, though. It's this time of year. What was yesterday? They said yesterday was the bluest Monday of all blue Mondays.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was like the day where most people have nervous breakdowns or something like that. I got to tell you, I had a terrific day.
No. And you're not too annoying.
Let me explain to you my day.
Yeah, tell us
let
how.
Let me explain to you my day. So, so at DeanBlundell.com, we're going through a bit of a growth spurt right now because things have been real good.
No.
And
good for you.
We hired a couple people. So we hired a car guy named James Walker. He does a feature called Car Porn. We've got this new blogger, and he came over yesterday. His name's Phil. We call him Cannabis Phil. He's
right.
A cannabis blogger.
Okay.
So what Phil wanted to do was a workshop.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if you've ever done a workshop with a cannabis blogger before.
No.
No, I never have. How did that play out for you?
My house reeks.
The neighbors.
And it was great because he went through all the strains of cannabis, what he wants to talk about, this like BizCon, MJ BizCon. I don't even understand it. It's apparently some kind of trade show for potheads. But weed is it's a booming, as they say. So we hired a cannabis podcaster. So I had to partake in some of those things yesterday. So Blue Monday was like Gray Monday for me. It was absolutely tremendous.
Your neighbors must have thought a grow op had moved into your into their neighborhood. What?
No, we had a few people from the blog. It was a workshop. It was like one of those HR don't harass your employees, fellow employees seminars you go to. Only everybody smoked pot and ate curry.
Beautiful. Now, isn't it interesting? You know, Lucky just had in the news that Whitby and is it Pickering are the only two in Durham who have turned their back on the idea of allowing pot to be sold in their town. Isn't that such a strange, you know, it's...
No, Mississauga said no,
Mississauga
too.
Said no. But I mean,
so did Markham, boys.
Yeah, Markham as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, isn't it? Doesn't yeah. it? It's insane, right? I mean, they'll let an LCBO be built on every corner. It's the future.
Yeah.
I mean, why are you putting blinders on? It's the future. It's going to happen inevitably.
Well, I think in towns where it's like steeped in old English history and most of the counselors have Italian or English last names, weed's going to be a real problem. Mm. And I mean that. And I know in Markham we've got a guy named Frank Scarpitti, who everybody seems to love. You won't find a guy who's more friendly to congesting the city with as many big buildings as he can. Mm-hmm. And you won't find a guy who wants to do what's best for the city only if it means enriching, the people that do the work. So he doesn't really care about pot plants, and he doesn't really care, and as do Markham and Whitby and Ajax and Pickering or whatever it is. What they care about is getting a great price for those pot shops. So my story and my theory is, based on guys I've talked to, the reason why they've said no to pot shops is because of the demographic and the age of the people serving on council, number one. And number two, they want to make sure if they do have pot shops, that they're going to drive a big number for people to get in when they open up those licenses for the bricks and mortar building. Right. So, but you're right. I mean, it's just a dick move, right? Like if everybody else is doing it, it's legal in Canada, yet somehow these hamlets and small townships seem to know better than the government of Canada, right, which I think is hilarious, because there's a reason you're the mayor of Balzac, Ontario. There's a reason you're a secretary treasurer of Whitby and not the prime minister, and that's because you don't have the kind of forethought that the government had years ago when they legalized marijuana.
Yeah, you're
Balzac,
right.
Ontario. Is that in the Hamilton area?
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a town. It's the smallest town I can think of. Is a town in Alberta called Balzac. It's really just a gas station. And guys that have gas have coffee there take turns being the mayor.
Yeah, it's very much a generational thing too. It's going to take a while for the stigma of pot to go away. You know, your children, our kids, Lucky certainly very young. Yours are very young. They'll grow up in a world where there's literally no difference. Pot.
Well, let me put this to you if I can.
Yeah.
While you're having a terrible morning, Craig.
No, it's better now that you're a part of it, Dean. Thank you.
Every rose has its own. Every night has its cherry pie.
You love your classic rock.
Wow.
Hey,
know who sings that.
You love your metal. You love your metal, Dean. I bet you there was
I thought that was Bette Midler.
Power ballad.
Power ballad. So here's my thing about marijuana is that until we get to a point, and we were talking about it with our cannabis blogger Phil this last week, you know, when it becomes just as normal to show up with a 4-foot bong to a dinner party as it does with a 6-pack,
right,
I'm in. Right. Like that's the only time we're ever going to turn the corner is when showing up with a grinder and a volcano balloon bag full of dope,
right,
is like showing up with a glass of wine at some people's houses. And I don't know when we're going to get there, if we will, but sure sounds like a great party, doesn't it, Lucky?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be an interesting one.
Now, listen, Dean, at DeanBlundell.com, not only do you have these new features, but also much about the Super Bowl, the NFL, Tony Romo. You got great video of guys punching out their screens after the loss. But let's start with Tony Romo. He really has become, as you say, the greatest play-by-play guy or color guy in the NFL.
Yeah. If you guys watched any of the games from championship weekend, watching him predict what was going to happen by the pre-snap formation was like... It was a game inside the game for me if you were watching Tony Romo do that Saints game. And I don't know if you watched it, Lucky or Craig, but you would get to a point where you're like, okay, he's calling a run outside because they've stacked everybody on the left, and he sees two guys here, boom, run outside, and it's a touchdown. And what we did is we've posted all of his wizardry, the Tony Romo play calling, which is crazy to watch because I don't know if play-by-play guys could have been able to do, or color guys could have been able to do this years ago, just chose not to explain the game properly. But that's why Tony Romo's so good. He's going to get like $25, $30 million from CBS this year because people love the fact that he explains the game in a wizard-like fashion, but in a way that we can all understand, and then what he says happens. And I think it's one of the coolest things to see in play-by-play today. It's far better. I mean, if you're looking at a hockey game or an NFL game, like if you put Tony Romo in any broadcast booth and he can do that, he'd be the best play-by-play guy in the history of play-by-play or color guys for sure. It was incredible to watch, though. He would predict something, it would come true, like right away.
I first noticed when he did a game, I think it was like October, I watched and thought, you know what, he's actually really good at this. For a guy that took a lot of knocks as a quarterback in Dallas as to whether or not he could actually be a championship quarterback. It turns out he's really good at analyzing play, and you can see that he's broken down a ton of game film in his time, that he knows these guys in and out, these teams, their habits, especially watching a guy like Tom Brady. He knows that when he kills a play, what he's usually going for is a run to the right with some help and motion from Gronk. It's really, really incredible to watch him break it all down, and I think what's best about him is he's really, it seems real and approachable when he does it as well. He's really quick with the telestrator. He can show you exactly where he's, you know, where he's pointing out things to you. Look at the top of the screen. If this guy's, you know, single coverage, it's going to him. And the predictions were just bang on. He nailed it.
Yeah, and it's fun to do, right? Like when you're watching that, you're like, oh, now we see if Tony Romo's right. Can he keep doing this? And he did it every time. But you're right. I mean, he's head and shoulders above Troy Aikman. I met Troy Aikman once at a club downtown in Toronto years ago. He was maybe the most unkind individual you'll ever meet.
Wow. Really, huh?
Yeah, total dick. And Tony Romo seems like he's the kind of guy that if he was in a hot tub at a Marriott, and you went to get in the hot tub at the Marriott, and it was just Tony Romo with a beer, he'd be like, hey, buddy, how you doing?
Have you ever climbed into any hot tub in a hotel with a stranger sitting in there?
You know, I've had such a germ phobia since I was a kid. I look at hot tub, and I just see, like if you cut a water buffalo open and put it on display and put jets around it. That's to me the cleanliness of a hot tub in a public place.
All even public swimming pools.
That won't do it. Can't do it. No way. You know how still disgusting people are? Sick people are? If you ever go, I'm glad you brought this up,
okay,
Craig. It's one of my pet peeves.
All right.
Public hot tubs or someone else's hot tub. Don't go in them. Because when they go in there, especially if it's like a public hot tub, I can tell you what happened. And I don't know if you know this, but you can take a sample from a public hot tub. 20% of it is bodily fluid.
True? Is this true?
No, but it's close.
If I was on fire walking by a public pool, I wouldn't throw myself in.
If I was being chased by a pack of wolves and the only way to get away from said wolves was to jump in my neighbor's hot tub, I wouldn't jump in my neighbor's hot tub.
Yeah, they are pretty gross, that's for sure. Now, speaking of gross.
Oh, yeah, and bodily fluids.
Yeah, we talked a while back, and Dean admitted that the one thing that would make him hurl is pulling crap out of the drain. And I thought of you the other day because I happened to pull out like a basketball size thing of hair out of the drain of our shower.
I can't hear it.
And it did nothing to me. I was fine. But both Lucky and I wanted to throw up at the video you have of the
never-ending zit popping,
the zit at DeanBlundell.com. Oh. That makes
me. What's versus?
It's
we
gross.
We do something called versus, where we sit disgusting things against other disgusting things, and you tell us what's more disgusting.
Oh.
So if you go to DeanBlundell.com right now, you can decide if it's more disgusting, this man's never-ending abdomen zit. Oh.
It's like a maggot coming
hair.
Out. Oh, it's gross.
It appears to be an ingrown hair, which. One piece of advice, never shave against the grain.
Oh, I'm gagging.
Or what you can do, and now, is that the winner, or is it the 78-year-old woman whose armpit has a giant, what appears to be like gray putty growth underneath it that the granddaughter's pulling out? Up to you. Up to you if you want to eat it. If you're having Link sausages or blood pudding this morning, don't.
You're right.
But you have to figure out who won, and we can tell because our website's cool. You can see heat mapping.
All right.
The clear winner is the old lady's armpit.
Oh, well, good for her!
Yay!
That's excellent, Dean. All right, then, can you lead us out with a little more poison?
Boys, remember this morning, okay? When you're and ladies and gentlemen, when you're driving down. Wherever you're driving this morning and you're feeling mad, you got in a fight with your husband and your kid went to school, didn't brush his teeth, and your daughter said the F word on her way out of the house. Just remember this morning, everybody. Every rose has its thorn. It's like every night has its dawn. I think I said dong.
I did, yeah.
That, totally mistake too. Total mistake.
I saw
every night
he
doesn't have a dong.
Every night.
I saw a movie.
Yeah, because every night had a dong, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Every rose that's its song.
I think I saw a movie with that dong title in it once.
You're gross. You guys are gross.
Yeah, yeah.
Wiener
obsessed. Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. All right, Dean, we love you.
Bye. Love you guys. Stay warm.
Bye. Check me on this if I'm wrong. The new health guide says we've got to cut back on the red meat and less of the saturated fats.
Yes.
Do we really need a new guide to explain this? Don't we already know this? Shouldn't we know
apparently,
this?
Apparently, there's a lot going on with this guide. It's changing a lot of what was happening before. The last change was like 12 years ago.
Right.
But in like 40 years, it hasn't changed very much all throughout. In terms of there was always what, like the basic four food groups, right? Yeah. Well, I guess this new guide is eliminating those or changing them. Instead, it's going to be like 20-something categories.
Wow.
And so they're not just putting eggs with meat and, milk. Grains and putting veggies and fruits together. Now they're separating everything, and there's a lane or an item for plant-based stuff as well now.
Oh,
too.
Okay. So it used to be just kind of your dairy, your meat.
Yeah, it used to be like, you take one thing from each of these four groups, put it on your plate, and you're healthy eating.
Right.
Well, they've decided that's not quite the course to go anymore, and then maybe you should be looking for other streams and other sources of nutrients. And plant-based ones are being more and more, I guess, getting more and more influenced now because you see there's a lot of vegetarian options and plant-based meat products and plant-based burgers, veggie burgers, that sort of thing. And saying, adding those to your diet, not a bad idea.
You know, I don't know if it's any kind of coincidence or not, but I have, changed my diet quite a bit since probably the fall. Never felt worse. When I look back to the crap I was shoving in my pie hole every day, you never saw me sick a second.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was good. Now I got numbness in my arms. I feel like crap. I got the flu.
Yeah.
And I've been eating good. I'm eating fruit every morning. I'm eating vegetables every night. Cut way back on all the red meat.
Maybe you're onto something here.
No crap. I've had no bad food.
Yeah. I mean, I've been eating unhealthy and doing nothing for 265 days since the last Road to 100. I started last week, and I got sick right away.
I never heard you complain once. Now look at us.
Yeah.
We're like 85-year-old men.
We go back to eating chips and hell of a good dip.
I think there's something to it.
I wonder if there's a stream for that on the new food guide.
I bet you hell of a good dip doesn't show up anywhere.
Likely no.
No. Well, what's the saying? If it tastes good, spit it out.
Yeah. That's the cardiologist diet.
Well, what are you going to do? Look, you got to, it's always tough with following any food guidelines. Like, eggs are a great example of confusion for all of us. Because in my lifetime, eggs have been the worst, the best, back to the worst.
Right.
Now you should only have a couple of them. Now you should have none of them. I think they say like a maximum of four a week now. At one point, it was the full of cholesterol, going to give you a heart attack.
Uh-huh.
Now it's good cholesterol, and I can keep track of the good versus the bad.
Right,
and you see it with all you read any kind of diet or health regulations. It's changing all the time. You never know. Chocolate's good, then it's not good for you. Coffee's gonna cure cancer. It's gonna give you cancer. Can't win.
Right. Well, and then there's all the breads too, right? Because that was part of your grains. They say we got to eat more whole grains.
Oh, they say bread is like now. Talk to some people. Bread is the devil. It's the worst.
Right. Well, especially if you're just eating the like plain old white bread.
Right.
I guess there's too many fake ingredients in there.
Right.
I don't know. How do you know all this stuff?
Just love it. A nice Wonder Bread with some mayo and bologna. That's a beautiful sandwich. And a slice of processed cheese.
And you say I have the palate of a 6-year-old.
I grew up on that stuff.
No doubt.
I want one now.
Really?
I'd be in a lot better shape if I had one. What's going on with you?
Yeah, nothing.
You're fine?
Well, I'm still getting over this little hack. I can't seem to get through it.
Uh-huh.
Really stuffed up. I'm trying everything here. I'm on the drugs.
Are you?
Yeah.
What kind of drugs you got?
I don't know.
What are you taking?
There's one pill that does everything, apparently.
Really?
Yes. The magic pill. when you go through the aisles of all the things that they've got yeah. all these, you know, everything's complete.
Yep.
You know, they complete this, complete that.
Fixes everything.
One pill takes care of 10 different symptoms.
Yep. Stuffy nose, constipation.
Yeah.
Does your taxes.
I didn't even know some of those ends were connected.
No, they are. No.
Apparently.
They all meet in the middle.
They're all affected.
Yeah, I'm quick to the drugs usually, too, when I'm feeling crappy. You know, people hold to, I'll battle through, I'll be fine. There's no trophies. There's no awards for battling through anything. And people always want to battle through. I'm stronger than that. I'm not folding to the medicine.
Right, yes.
Oh, I'm into the pills fast.
Uh-huh. Now, will you go to the doctor and get, like, the antibiotics? Will you go to that route?
If it lingers.
Yeah.
If it lingers. I mean, I'm not going to race to the doctor right away, but if I notice that I can't, say, clear up a cough or something.
I'll... Yeah. Well, because there's people out there with, like, pneumonia that
won't go.
Take a couple of hauls and think that'll do it. No.
A little more water, I'll be fine. All right, go with that. I already had the discussion. The lovely Maria and I have had this discussion. And God forbid one day if I get very sick or she gets sick. Mostly I was discussing me.
Uh-huh.
I said, you have to just let me deal with it my way. You know, you're probably going to disagree with every route I take.
Right.
But I don't care. I am fully aboard modern medicine. I said, if I'm stricken with some really horrible disease... Don't expect me just to up my broccoli count. Okay? Oh, I get mad at her. I go, I'm not having more kale.
Right.
I'm going right into the hospital.
Mm.
I am a litany of tests and a battery of doctors. You can go for a walk and sniff a rose. I'm leaning on medicine. People are getting all upset online because somebody figured out that Kim Kardashian and Kanye West drop about $50,000 to $100,000 a month on nannies for their three kids.
Mm.
Of course, that's a ton of dough. I get it. But people are saying they're draining their bank accounts. It's tipping them over the edge.
Yeah, no.
I think they're fine. Kanye made $27.5 million last year. Kim raked in $67 million. Quick math, that's $94 million, give or take.
Really?
And even on the high end, if they're spending like $1.2 million on child care, it's... A very low percentage of
income. Well, because they're making almost $2 million a week.
Yeah. No, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Let's not worry about it. Of course, you know, that we get crazy, and I guess it's just because the numbers make no sense. You know, you hear it like in a divorce, and very rich couple, and they figure things out, and all of a sudden, the wife is getting, you know, $50,000 a month in child care payments and this and that. You're like, well, that's a lot of money every month. But rich people spend lots of dough.
It's not your money.
Yeah. No. It's if you make $100,000 a year and you spend $1,300 a month on daycare or whatever, you know, you can go, oh, Jesus, a lot of dough. But, well, you're making $100,000, so the $1,300 a month isn't that big of a deal.
I will say it is annoying, though, when you talk to people who are doing pretty well, and they'll say, well, the more you make, the more you spend.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, I still spend a lot.
Yeah.
I just like to have that problem where, you know, I'm just spending more, and it's not costing me more.
No, exactly. I think we have said this in the past. You know, making $94 million a year, of course, sure, we'd all like, I think, to put our toe in that pond and try that out for a little while. I really would just love to be at a point where money didn't matter.
Mm.
You know, you just didn't have to, you never kind of had to think, boy, can we afford that vacation? You know, my fridge is on the fritz. The idea that I got to go to my credit card, you know, it's just like to go, well, I guess we just buy a new fridge.
Yeah.
We'll fix it. It'll be fine. Not a blink, not a concern. I got a notice in the mail just the other day. Funny how this arrived just on time.
Well, of course.
My bank offers to increase my Visa.
Okay.
Bigger limit.
Yes.
And at first I said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. So nice to know it's available, but no, I think I'll stick with the limit I have. Now I realize I probably might have to buy a new fridge. So up goes. hey, bank, remember that thing I said no to? Can I change my mind? I think I'd use that.
You need that back.
Yeah. So, you know, that's really it. Wouldn't it be great just to be at a spot where money didn't matter?
Yeah, it sounds fun.
Yeah.
Well, and listen, you know, we get all these situations where you get 10 and 20 bucked to death, right? Everything goes up by 10 bucks here. This is up by 10. This is up by 20. And then eventually you're looking around saying, where the heck is all this money going? And can I keep this up? And you're treading water financially.
Yeah. I remember having this conversation. Every 5 years or so, you go back to the bank, you redo your mortgage, you do whatever. And I remember a couple of times along the way having these conversations with my my mortgage person. And I'd say, boy, I just hate having this lingering debt, this and that. And he or she would say, don't worry about it, Craig. Comparable, you're doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they said the way some people live their lives, and I just know it's not me. I can have some risk in my life financially, and I have been living with risk in my life for most of my married, but only to an extent. I need that little bit of safety, that little, I know that I can put a couple of $100. I got a little rainy day fund to live literally, check to check. And I saw on the news yesterday, people are $200 away from being insolvent.
Really?
Yeah. So many of us. And you look, you see somebody's got just wads of credit cards and they're all racked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, we put on a facade.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of us like to put on a show, that grass is greener show. And especially with social media, it's okay, well, look at me, the house with the fresh upgrades, the new landscaping, and a couple of new vehicles in the driveway. Here's a picture of it. But, that picture doesn't show exactly what's going on behind the scenes.
Oh, no.
And you could be swimming in debt in order to have it.
See a beautiful home and a beautiful subdivision, and you get the chance to maybe go and peek in behind the curtains if they've got any curtains up because they can't afford them. And inside's a couple of lawn chairs and a cooler.
Well, that's why they've had to go and put all these rules in place to stop people from doing that to themselves. Because, the interest rates got so low that people were like, I'll borrow. It doesn't really matter. It's not going to cost you that much when you borrow against it. When you look at your credit card statement, and I thought it was Jim Flaherty, who was the finance minister at the time, and said, you know what? He demanded that all credit card companies show you how long it would take to pay off that balance if only the minimum payment.
Yeah.
Right? And until then, we'd never seen, a lot of people never understood.
Mm.
They're like, okay, I make the minimum payments on my credit card. I'm doing okay. Mm. They're not going to come after me. But when you look at that and say, it could be 30 years for some people before they pay off their credit card if they don't add anything to it.
Well, yeah, and if you've got two or three cards floating at 18 and 19% interest, and say the minimum payment's like 180 on one and 150 on another, you add it up and all of a sudden it's $400 and $500 a month going to nothing. Yeah. You might as well light it on fire. You're just giving it to the bank. Yeah. Wipe your arse with it.
Well, we talked about this last week. It's a good thing to hear that the government is going to start implementing a course in high schools about financial planning. Because these are the things that need to be taught to kids as they're starting to earn money and spend money. Is it, okay, there's a limited supply of it. How are you going to control it?
Yeah, a little less time worrying about the Kardashians' financial situation. Yeah. A little more time focusing on your own might be key. Want to go to the Super Bowl? CNBC has tried to kind of figure out what it would cost you to get there. But, there's all sorts of variables with the travel and lodging and food.
Right.
And depending on how much dough you want to spend.
Uh-huh.
And they figure it anywhere in the ballpark between $3,928 to about $18,087.
18 grand.
For one person.
Go see a game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they figure right now, I guess, the tickets, secondary market tickets, anywhere in the range of $3,400 to about $16,000. And then you take in your travel and such, put you
almost,
I've been to a couple of NFL games, and sure, I'm sure the Super Bowl is a whole other level, but I find the NFL live pretty flippin' boring. Just stop and start, and there's not, you don't get the play-by-play, you don't get all the TV stuff.
I agree. I can't disagree with that. The Super Bowl is an event.
Sure. Oh yeah, right? I listen
more than a game
thing. Yeah, it's a whole other thing. I don't even know how much of the game you'd actually watch.
I don't know. There's so much and long breaks, pauses. Of course, you have the big halftime show going on. All sorts of other stuff happening. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know I think it'd be an interesting to see as an event itself. You know, whether or not it'd be worth $18,000, I don't think much is.
Turns out that Roger Goodell, if he wanted to, he could reverse what went down with that bad call. But, you know, I think the NFL kind of likes the idea of an L.A. New England Super Bowl.
Mm.
TV-wise, it's good.
Right.
But there is a rule on the book that says the commissioner could, if he wished, reverse a play. Rule 17, Section 2, Article 1 says the commissioner has the sole authority to investigate and take corrective measures if any calamity occurs in an NFL game which the commissioner deems so extraordinarily unfair or outside the accepted tactics that such action has a major effect on the result of the game.
Really?
Article 3 adds the commissioner's power includes the reversal of a game's results or the rescheduling of a game, either from the beginning or from the point at which the extraordinary act occurred. Roger okay. Goodell is not reversing what happened.
No. It's because extreme calamity is yeah. that it was a blown call.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think all sides have basically admitted that now.
Oh, everybody.
That the referees blew the call. And how, to be honest, you've got six or seven of them out there. You know, they can't consult on this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And someone with a cooler head prevails saying, nah, this guy was interfered with. But regardless, I don't think a blown call counts as a calamity in that sense.
Right.
I think calamity is more like a fan runs onto the stand and tackled the guy on the field and tackles the guy before he hits the end zone or, yeah. you know, the upright blows over and the field goal is missed. Something crazy like that.
Yeah, an earthquake or yeah. some security issues in the stands. Yeah, no, it'll carry on. I mean, I guess he could. He's got 2 weeks. And really, when it was the end of the game, just call them all back together and play an extra minute.
Do you imagine that?
Everybody get suited up.
Everyone get right back in. It's 3rd and 10.
Yeah.
Off we go.
It won't be happening. Now, you sent me some audio of Tony Romo.
Everyone talking about, I mean, of all the performances, and there were a lot of great ones, and Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees and Jared Goff, the quarterbacks everyone's talking about, perhaps the one that's being most talked about now is a former quarterback in Tony Romo and how good he is at doing color commentary along with the play-by-play. He and Jim Nantz were working together. Mm-hmm. And I noticed this earlier in the season in watching him call a game is that he really understands what's going on. You're really getting sure. that insight. And you would expect that from quarterbacks. They know the play. I mean, Phil Simms did it for years and Fran Tarkenton and all these guys who were you know, good quarterbacks can make good announcers. But Romo is predicting plays before they're happening mm-hmm. and giving you the insight into the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's mind and telling you, you know, if you see this guy, this defender pinch here, the ball's going there. And he was so deadly accurate. It was awesome.
It's interesting because that's a rare, you know, you hope and you see lots of times it fails where they'll take these superstar players and try to turn them into announcers. Right. Cause and it's just they can't pull it off for one reason or another.
But he's genuine.
Yeah.
You know, I think, if anything, you know, Boomer Esiason was another one that got into the broadcasting afterwards. But Tony Romo was very genuine at it. He's very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a quarterback, he dropped the ball several times.
Sure.
But now, in terms of critiquing them and predicting what they're doing, he's nailing it.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.